Well, Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. You know, in those days and in the earlier days through Israel's culture, when people were engaged, they were considered already to be married. I like that text over in Deuteronomy chapter 22 where it talks about that very thing. In fact, I think I should read those verses for you so that you have a clear understanding of that. Deuteronomy 22, 23 through 30. You'll say, wow, why are we going way back here? Well, to ease your mind on make sure everything is okay between Joseph and Mary. As if you were worried about that. It says here, if there is a girl who is a virgin engaged to a man, and another man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death. The girl, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he has violated his neighbor's wife. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. But if in the field the man finds the girl who is engaged, and the man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lies with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the girl. There is no sin in the girl worthy of death. For just as a man rises against his neighbor and murders him, so is this case. When the angel found her in the field, when he found her in the field, the enraged, engaged girl. I'm sorry, my glasses are getting weaker than they used to be. When he found her in the field, the engaged girl cried out, but there was no one to save her. If a man finds a girl who is a virgin, who is not engaged, and seizes her and lies with her, and they are discovered, then the man who lay with her shall give to the girl's father 50 shekels of silver. She shall become his wife because he has violated her. He cannot divorce her all his days. Wow. I wonder if Joseph was thinking about those verses. It's possible. Anyway, he thought, what can I do to get out of this situation? I don't want to embarrass Mary. I love her. But when he considered this, wow, a word from the Lord. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. You'll hear that, don't be afraid, throughout the Christmas story, won't we? Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. That certainly was talked about in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. It says in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 35, the angel answered Mary and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. So if we piece the scriptures together, we come to the conclusion through Isaiah and through this and other places throughout even the epistles that Jesus Christ was not only the Son of God, but he became the Son of Man. In fact, the Son of Man became one of his favorite usages of himself. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He confirmed that he came for the purpose, for the very purpose of bringing salvation. So we started out with a potential problem that got solved by God. Is there any lesson to learn there? Potential problems that get solved by God. Sometimes when I try to solve potential problems, they become real problems. I don't know if it works that way for you, but human fixing doesn't usually cut it in the Christian life. When God is welcomed into the situation, which seems like a problem, he's the one that cancels out fear and gives clear direction so we know how to move from this point to the next. And that's how peace comes. You know, he solved the problem or is solving it when he gives you and me peace on the inside. Amen. And The world talks about peace, but true believers who are walking with the Lord and are controlled by the Holy Spirit are the only ones that have that peace. And it's a blessing that's beyond belief. So we're talking about the virgin birth here. Joseph was not guilty of premarital sex, as is so common today. I do quite a bit of premarital counseling because I'm still doing weddings. I thought I retired, but I guess some people don't understand that. But in my counseling, I find that there are those who have already been sexually active. And now they, after using each other for a few years, they think, well, I probably should get married to avoid the embarrassment of people asking questions. What a way to look at life. You know, try to encourage your children to stay celibate until it's time. Be bold. Be courageous. Teach your children the value of moral purity. There was moral purity in this situation. There was no, quote, hanky-panky that went on. I used to hear that as a child. Don't get in that hanky-panky, is what I was told as a teenager. Well, when Joseph had considered this, an angel told him, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what she has experienced is because of the Holy Spirit of God working with Mary to make her a favored one, as it tells us in the Gospels. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus. The Gaithers wrote that song, Jesus. 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 There's something about that name of Jesus. There are other songs birthed maybe from that one, which says just whispering his name can bring peace in the storm. Believing in Jesus brings forgiveness of sins. Trusting Jesus in all the challenges of life take you out on the other side and work you through those potential problems. But what I want to say about this is that this is the very purpose for which this birth occurred. It was not just to entertain shoppers. It wasn't just to create songs that could be sung in the Christmas mall and at churches. It was not just to satisfy the curiosity of other people or make movies in Hollywood. This was the greatest purpose that God has ever had. When there was a real problem, not a potential one, a real problem in the Garden of Eden, it was God that solved it. He had to do something. Those people that he had put there were given opportunity to make choices. And they probably made a whole string of good choices. And who knows how long they were in the garden walking with God, the Lord God walking with them in the garden. Most commentators that I read believe that that was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ himself walking with Adam and Eve in the garden for who knows how long until the day they fell. The serpent beguiled Eve, the Bible says. Adam made a deliberate choice to share in the fruit with his wife. And they both became guilty and had to be kicked out of the garden. You know that story. And you know how God judged them for that, disciplined them for that, and said they couldn't partake of the tree of life. That was God's mercy. So they wouldn't live forever in their fallenness. They needed to be saved. And God condemned the serpent there. He says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel. It'll crush your head, but you will bruise his heel. That's exactly what happened. And Jesus won that battle at the cross. But it was only through this special birth that kept Jesus from being born as a sinner after the likeness of Adam that would qualify him to be the Savior. Adam couldn't have gone to the cross to help anybody. He was already guilty. He wouldn't have been the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish that can take away the sin of the world. It would take the Savior. It would take this perfect baby that was born in a manger and laid in a manger, born in a cave, I suppose, and laid in the manger, a feeding trough, that would become a child, and he would grow up. He would develop in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and the people. He would develop as every other child except this child was sinless. I jotted down some references to that. Listen to these about our perfect Savior, illustrating the purpose for which he came and preparing him to be a sacrifice at the cross in our behalf. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he has made him, God the Father has made God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. That's salvation, to be made righteous before God. Peter says he committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. He didn't retaliate against those who were abusing him and wounding him and crushing him and crucifying him. In fact, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The Bible says, had they known who he really was, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. They thought he was an imposter. They thought that he was a fake. And they put him to death. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, he was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And we see proof of that, not only in Satan tempting him, but in all the other issues. John, the apostle, says, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. 1 John 3, read the rest of those verses in that chapter, and you'll find out that those who really, really know him don't want to sin anymore. They don't practice sin all the time anymore. They're delivered from the penalty of sin through faith in Christ. And as they follow Christ, they don't practice sin. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. My friend, if you and I are sinning personally, daily, we better get with the program and begin to walk in the light. We're not following Jesus when we're sinning. We need to confess those sins to him so that we can walk on with him. The Bible says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, vertically and horizontally, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's the salvation that this Savior provides. Pilate, when it came time to be crucified, Jesus was being judged by those, including the governor, who was examining him. He says, behold, I'm bringing him out to you, Pilate said, that you may know that I find no guilt in him at all. But it didn't keep him from being crucified, because it had been predetermined before the foundation of the world that he would die for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he'd be buried, and that he'd be raised the third day. Pilate's wife says, have nothing to do with that man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. Wow. Wow. There was evidence through all these witnesses that our Lord Jesus was truly a sinless man. Judas Iscariot, because he was more desirous about 30 pieces of silver than he was about following Christ, said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And those scribes and those people that had given him money for doing that, he threw the money back to them and said, you see to that yourself. That's your problem, not ours. Thief on the cross said to his buddy, we're receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Luke 23. The Roman centurion who was there at the cross praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent, innocent. Christ himself says, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. He can't accuse me of anything wrong. but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us be going. Where? To the cross, to be crucified for the sins of the whole world. Our Heavenly Father said this about His Son: this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When you and I are His sons through faith in Jesus Christ, God is well pleased with us too. Wow. When I think about that, I think that's what gives me the gas to keep driving. That's what gives me the energy to keep serving God. Some people say, why in the world at your age don't you just do what you want to do instead of preaching? I said, you don't know me very well. That's what I do want to do. I want to do the Father's will. I love Him for all He's done for me. How can I do less than to give Him my best for whatever there is left of me? With all the arthritis and all the pills I take, most of them vitamins, lots of vitamins. And I go to the gym to keep myself a little bit physically fit for the job that God has called me to do. Wow. Jesus asked the Pharisees and Sadducees, which of you convinces me of sin? How did they respond to that? They said, you were altogether born in sin. They accused Him of being born of fornication because they didn't believe, listen, they didn't believe the virgin birth. But isn't it an amazing thing that Herod, who was the king at that time, we saw him here, didn't we? Herod, who had heard the scriptures, he had heard the scriptures. He didn't believe the very thing that was taught in the Old Testament about the coming king. Wow, that's an amazing thing. Herod the king heard it. He was troubled. And I would say that was a potential problem for him. And all Jerusalem was worried about that. They gathered together the chief priests and the scribes and the people and began to inquire of them. You know the story. I want to go worship Him too. No, he didn't want to worship Him. He wanted to kill Him. And he tried, didn't he? But you can't kill God. God is eternal life. And as God, the Son of God could not die. But because He became the Son of Man, He became subject to physical death and death on the cross, that He might bring righteousness to all who would follow Him. Wow, what great submission He had to the Father. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, purpose that He might redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Friend, if you're a believer here today, then you have certainly caught the message of Christmas. The virgin birth is a little bit of a picture of our new birth, when you think about it. You see, when the Holy Spirit plants the truth of the Word, the seed of the Word, on good soil, it grows. And that good seed, when it grows, makes a whole new creation. And God always creates after His kind. And so when we're saved, we're made in the image of God way back then. But then the image of God becomes more clear, clearer than ever. When we become children of God, we reflect His likeness. There's a wonderful resemblance between Jesus and His followers. And that's the goal of every one of us. So the doctrine which I know this church preaches, and the doctrine which I've preached for many years, is that Jesus Christ is unique. Nobody else was born of a virgin. He was. Nobody else was born without sin. David the psalmist, the man after God's own heart, says, in sin my mother conceived me. You know, it's been sin from the time I was born. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. So in Christ is where we are when we have come to Him as our Savior and our Lord. But our Lord is unique in that way. He's unique in His virgin birth. He's unique in His virtuous life. This is another sermon. I'm just giving you the outline. He's unique in His vicarious death. He's unique in His victorious resurrection. He's unique in His valiant session, meaning He's at the right hand of God. And He's unique in His visible return, which we believe is going to happen. And interestingly enough, He's unique also as a vengeful judge on all who reject Him. John the Apostle tells us in his first chapter, He came unto His own, and His own did not receive Him. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, but the world turned its back on Him. He came even to His own family, and His own stepbrothers did not trust Him or believe in Him until He rose from the dead. And that convinced some of those brothers. And they even wrote some of our Bible because they became true followers of our Lord. Wow, what a marvelous thing. But the good news, He came to His own, and even though they rejected Him, as many as received Him, John says in verse 12, He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. Who were born how? Not of blood. Joseph had no part in the birth of Jesus. Nor of the will of the flesh. It wasn't done by human means at all. Nor of the will of man. This wasn't man's plan, it was God's plan. Man never would have been able to make a plan like this. This is God's plan. But of God. The same Spirit of God who brought about the virgin birth of Jesus is the one who brings about the new birth for everyone who leaves the darkness and turns to the light. I had quite a struggle leaving the pleasures of sin, of just being a jerk of a teenager, doing things I knew were not right. But God had a leash on me. He didn't let me get as far away as I might have gone had He not had a plan for my life. I'll tell you, He's got a plan in your life too, hasn't He? Many of you are in the plan. How's it going? This is application time. Christmas is a wonderful time to enjoy our family, to unwrap gifts, to eat together, to enjoy relationships. Relationships. That's all this is that we're talking about this morning. It's a relationship between you and Almighty God. And I don't know hardly any of you. I see your faces out there, and I hope your countenance is such that the glory of God is reflected from it back to me. It's wonderful when the light of His countenance shines upon His people. Moses' face shone when he was with God on Mount Sinai, had put a veil over his face to protect others from the glare. I've been accused of that too when I bend down like that, and they said, that bald spot back there creates a glare. Please don't do that anymore. You can have fun with a congregation when you're with them for almost 40 years. But anyway, I want you to just put together, you're the one that needs to apply whatever you can from this message. I've given you a part of the Christmas story, and I'll give you some more of it next week and the week after. And then January comes, and only God knows what you're going to hear then. Because, who knows, I may be back. Is He your Savior? Salvation has three tenses. Are you forgiven of sins in the past? Are you content with Christ in the present? Are you looking forward to His return, or do you dread it? May the Lord search your hearts today and do whatever He wishes to do in your life. He did what He wanted to do and chose to do in Mary and Joseph's lives. And He is doing what He wants to do in your life if you let Him. Don't put your heels in. Just let Him take you where He wants to take you. Some of us are nearer heaven than we've ever been. Some of us have health issues that are getting increasingly difficult. Some of us face struggles, perhaps, that you wonder whether to get an attorney or whether you need to just talk it over with your church body. I don't know what you're going through. They tell me you need a full-time pastor, and I'm not throwing my hat in the ring for that, but I will be here for a while to give you the word so that you can find peace during the Christmas season and into the new year. I'm going to stop preaching. Thank you.
The Lord has come, and the Lord is coming again. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive Him, let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature see. You know, the virgins in the parable, all the virgins believed, all of them believed that the wedding was going to take place. They all knew it was going to happen. But only five of them applied it. And that's what God is asking us to do, is to apply the things that He has given us, to apply His love to our lives so that we will be ready. And praise God that Jesus is coming again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Christmas. Without You sending Your Son Jesus, Christmas means nothing. Help each of us, Father, to keep Christ in our hearts. Help us this season to reach out with the love that You've given us. Let Your love shine through us, Father, to others in this world, they're lost. There's so many that are lost, Father. Help us to keep our eyes focused on the Son, your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died and gave his blood so that each one of us could, in fact, see your face one day. Father, thank you for all of the love that's in this room. Let us go now, Father, and preach the word that you are coming again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.